Check this out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
When Odell takes the field, it will have been what?
Yeah, 500 plus days.
Since he's played a football game.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Ravens gave him $15 million. And the Giants are like, yeah, do we give Saquon Barkley $15 million a year? That's what they figured.
Earlier on the show, the Fire Pit Collective golf writer, Alan Shipnuck. Coming up, NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider, Tom Curran. From FX's Justified, City Primeval. Actor, Timothy Olyphant. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air on this Monday show. Overreaction Monday is still to come. My top five quarterbacks in need of a bounce back season. That's still to come. The actor Timothy Olyphant in studio with FX's Justified, City Primeval. He is returning as Raylan Givens, one of my favorite TV characters that he plays. It's always a delight when he's here in studio, as he will be in hour number three. Good chat with Alan Shipnuck of the Fire Pit Collective with the latest on the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour as the Open Championship week hits. It is, in fact, training camp week opening up in the National Football League. The Jets opening up training camp in the middle of this week. Hard Knocks has been dated, set for a date, August 8th, that will debut with the Jets. Chris Brockman, you mentioned a couple of days ago a report from Ben Volen of the Boston Globe that Bill Belichick's friends are privately voicing concern that Belichick may be on the hot seat this year. And you've been talking about this for a while.
That I think Belichick might be in the hot seat. Did I start the hot seat?
Oh, sure.
Talk?
We'll just give you that.
Thank you.
And then when DeAndre Hopkins has chosen the Titans and the Patriots were in that mix too, when that happened, it was time to call up the signal. The Cape Crusader of NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran, back here in the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Tom?
Tremendous. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am doing great.
You know how humbling it is? I got to tell you this real quick.
Yes, sir.
It's so humbling when I hear your list of guests and then you're coming to me.
Hey, brother.
I mean, Timothy Olyphant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, geez.
He's a good...
I've watched Deadwood front to back three times.
Oh, wow.
Me too, Tom. And it's as great a TV show as any. I do love it, and I'm going to ask him about it when he comes in and, you know, an hour number three. It's going to be great. So I will send that clip to you later on today, Tom. It's right up your alley.
Thanks, buddy.
Right up your alley. Let's jump into this here. I'll ask it and with a Patriots lens. Why did Hopkins choose the Titans over the Patriots? Do you think, Tom?
Feels like the dough. Feels like the Patriots kind of drew a line in the sand on how much they were willing to spend on DeAndre Hopkins. And because that $15 million, 12 with incentives to bring him to 15, given by Tennessee, is not exorbitant. And it's head-scratching to me relative to the Patriots, who just came off of a two-year, $22 million deal for Nelson Agholor, who wasn't nearly 50% the player DeAndre Hopkins was when he came in, and he wasn't even 20% of the player DeAndre Hopkins was in the 2 years he was here. Patriots spend $8, $9, $10 million annually on special teamers in a league that's trying to push away from them. Patriots have more cap space, Rich, than anybody else in the league next year by about $60 million, and they have a ton right now. They had room to do it, and I just don't understand why in a highly leveraged season, they didn't say, let's just go in on this guy. We need him.
Is it something other than money then? Was it definitely not apples to apples? Do you know, first blush here, if the Patriots just were not as competitive on the money front as Tennessee?
My feeling is it's certainly that's the case. You know, there were reservations voiced to me from folks, you know, within the building of okay, how's the culture fit going to be? Not in the way of, and this is important if this gets clipped, not in the way of he's a bad guy,
right,
not in the way of he's going to be an irritant, but more of he doesn't like to practice. He's not on all the details. He's not the most precise player. And that happens a lot with whether it's Darrell Revis, who I should not say didn't like to practice, but you know, you bring a player in who's so thoroughly established elsewhere and say, okay, you're going to hew to the rules and regulations we have here, and they might be like, yeah, I don't do it that way. So there was concern about that. Maybe the Patriots didn't want to go that far, but he had a two-day visit with them. He's got the familiarity. I'm not saying that he would have been a panacea to all the things that ailed him, But you're going to look at Mac Jones at the end of the year and make an evaluation as you head into the fourth year and decide whether or not he's going to be your quarterback to 2030, or are you going to say so long after 2024?
What about this setup in New England that might not have, I guess, vibed with Hopkins? Obviously, Bill O'Brien is his former head coach and the one who sent him to Arizona to begin with, and now he's the OC there. Was that all copacetic based on from what you were hearing and understanding, Tom?
Yes, 100%. Based on what I'm hearing and understanding, 100%. That was buried. Now, was that lip service paid over the course of time? And those are other reports that Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal had mentioned, as well as you know, indications that O'Brien, I think, has given too, that it was dead and buried. He wouldn't have taken a 2-day visit here if he wasn't the least fit. I mean, that's a lot if you want to prime the pump for a bigger payday someplace else to spend 2 days in Boston in late June. So he did so. So I would imagine everything was copacetic.
Well, our friend Breer's saying that Hopkins was texting with Vrabel during his Patriots visit. Did you see that one, Tom?
I didn't, but I fully trust Albert. I mean, if you're one car dealership bidding on a similar car across the street, and you go, "Hey, these people are giving me a deal on the formats. Can you guys do that?" You're gonna do it.
The true coat. He wanted the true coat kicked in. Is that what you're saying? You want a little?
Yeah. Okay. That's a little Fargo for you, right?
That's
there.
That's it. Right. That's it. You got
you
my reference.
We're taking a fine.
That's right. That's right. Little Fargo for you right there. Again, you can see I'm just hunting and pecking because maybe also he, you know, figured he's going to be the man in Tennessee and then part of the Patriot way. And I don't know, did Devontae Parker also say something that caused Hopkins essentially to tweet, you know, "I'm a value add to any room, you know, hey, my message to all receivers that might be on a team that I'm looking at, I'm a value add. I'm not taking away food off your table," essentially, right? Did something happen there?
I think when we look at the landscape of why is DeAndre Hopkins today going to be a Titan and not a Patriot, I think it might have more to do with the Titans and Hopkins, maybe more to do with the Titans. When you lose A.J. Brown, I looked at this yesterday just to see how bad their offense was. They only scored in the final 12 games, Tennessee, more than 20 points two times. They scored 22 and 27. The 27 was their season high. They were pretty pathetic on offense. I don't even know how many defensive or return touchdowns were involved in some of those games, but they were pathetic. And you can absolutely trace it to the absence of A.J. Brown. And you saw Mike Vrabel video after A.J. Brown was traded, the news from that draft night where he kind of got up and looked a little disgusted.
Oh, yeah.
So I would imagine Vrabel sitting there after a 7-10 season saying, "I know what went wrong. This is the only way available to us to try and rectify it. Let's do it." So I think that Tennessee was more motivated. As far as the Patriots and Devontae Parker, the Patriots should be able to, with a straight face, walk into training camp and say, if these guys play all at the potential level that they should, Parker, Bourne, Tyquan Thornton as a second-year player, Juju, Hunter Henry, Gesicki, Ramondre Stevenson, they should be an offense that should be able to figure its way to 24 points a week. So I get it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The Titans needed Hopkins more than the Patriots did. That's for sure. You know,
yeah.
I saw that Vrabel was, until Hopkins agreed to terms, the Titan with the most career touchdown receptions in that building. You know, like, that's the truth. He was leading his own damn receiver room with his career, thanks to all those times that Brady targeted him. So they needed him. I understand that. What about the Patriots needing one piece of shiny material added in this late stage because the AFC East is so damn deep right now? What about that sense with Dalvin Cook sitting out there right now, Tom?
My greater concerns for the Patriots right now are Trent Brown, their left tackle, who did not perform well last year, showed up late to the mandatory minicamp, was only able to make it through one drill, which looked like a conditioning issue, and adjourned to the lower practice field. What shape is he going to come back in? in a week and a half, a week really. Which shape will he come back in? And can he protect Mac Jones? Because if he can't, and the rest of that line is okay, not great, okay, then you're going to have another season of kind of just treading water unless Bill O'Brien can get this team to where it was with Brady and McDaniels, where the ball's coming out so fast nobody can be bothered. Mac Jones can do that. He's just got the worst separating group of receivers in the National Football League. These guys create zero separation. Devontae Parker has been last in the league in separation for the past 3 years, like 146 out of 146. And if that's your quote-unquote one, that's an issue for a young quarterback.
So how has Mac Jones seemed to you? Any different? What do you got?
Yeah, I think that he's willing to, which I'm not sure Bill has been, but I think Mac is willing to acknowledge that, look, you know, I let my emotions get the better of me after holding them in check for a long time. I'm going to be a better leader this year. I think he's got great leadership skills, but he's also got a little bit of the tennis brat in him, which Brady did too. But it's different. I don't want to compare him to Brady all the time, but he can be a little bit more on his own when he's pissed off.
Yeah, but Brady never had as his Sherpa, two guys who'd never done it before in some weird power structure, you know, like
Oh, you're so right.
So
if people are like, go ahead. Sorry, Richard.
No, it's the that's the ultimate question here. And that's what I think has placed Belichick in the conversation. Oddly enough, I'm stunned by it as needing to win this year to avoid a hot seat scenario in New England. It's basically last year in what happened with Mac Jones, and that offense can be placed in the bucket of the weird Matt Patricia Joe Judge gambit that clearly didn't work and everybody thought wasn't going to work, and was pointing out while it was being formed, this isn't looking too great. So, yeah, maybe that's why Mac Jones's tennis brat came out a little bit more than expected.
100%. 100%. I mean, everyone knew in training camp, Mac Jones included, that it was head-scratchingly difficult to understand what the aim was. I mean, they were a train wreck in training camp, practice after practice. Zero gains or like defensive players walking through the line unblocked and just raising their hand to say, you guys forgot me, instead of finishing off just tackling the quarterback. It was just bizarre. And I thought it would get better, and there were moments when it did. There was a period of time when they were fairly effective. But as the rest of the league improved, offensively and defensively, they just got raced past. And, you know, you talk about avoiding the hot seat. Rich, he's on the hot seat, and he's been there at different levels of warmth since 2019.
Really?
And let me look at it this way. In 2019, Tom Brady wanted a two-year, $50 million guaranteed contract, just like Drew Brees had. He presumed he was going to get that. In training camp, it still was not forthcoming. He's like, you know what? If I don't get this thing, I'm walking out. It was explained to Belichick that was the case. They got something done. It was not a two-year guaranteed contract. It was 2 years with a team option. So at that point, Brady, as we all know, said, okay, party's over. I'm leaving at the end of the year. And he had dalliances with Miami and everything else. So as that progressed, and the team gets to 8-0 in that season, Brady's pissed. Kraft is looking at it as, okay, well, if we're moving on from this guy, I hope we have a good plan. Brady leaves. Belichick somehow convinces Kraft that not spending that money on Tom Brady was a great idea. He wins the Super Bowl. The Patriots, under Cam Newton, because they don't have a plan, were a train wreck offensively. They have a good 2021. They bounce back tremendously with McDaniels doing a great job of orchestrating things with Jones. McDaniels leaves. Again, no plan for replacement. All those guys they spent $172 million on in guaranteed money in 2022 are so bad. And the decision to have Patricia and Judge running the offense caused it a massive regression and dysfunction. They were one of the worst teams in the league, coach-wise, in terms of penalties and situational football. And that just shouldn't happen. So Kraft has pointed out, and I'm babbling here, a number of times, I'm anxious. I want results. And he's not getting them. And I wonder if Belichick had already passed Shula, or was it even within hailing distance of Shula, if we would really have this kind of a hand-wringing, what do you do about Bill conversation? Because it's not just last year. It goes back to the midway point of 2019.
Man, so what does this year need to look like, Tom?
Better.
Better means what?
I mean, of all the years
for the Jets to get Rodgers, the Dolphins to add Vic Fangio, which is the one ad that I think few people are talking about, with Dalvin Cook might be coming. The Bills are the Bills. You know, Burrow is Burrow. Mahomes is Mahomes. I mean, this is, you know, better. What does better look like? They got to make the playoffs and win a game. I mean, I understand better is as a concept, but you know, what does it need to?
I have an answer.
Okay.
Kraft has already started walking back the demand for a playoff win. You can sense it in him saying, you know, I expect us to be a good team this year, but our schedule is something else. So last year he indicated it's been 3 years since we won a playoff game. I expect to win one now. This year they didn't come close to doing that. So now you're looking at a situation where you would expect Kraft to ratchet that up. He's kind of walking it back, explaining how difficult the schedule is. But you can't be situationally stupid. You can't have a quarterback who is so disgusted on a regular basis that he's gesturing towards the sidelines in disgust. You can't seem as if you have no clue. You can't be one of the worst teams in the red zone or on third down. All of those things can't happen. If you improve and you're in the top 10 and you're losing games where you just get outplayed instead of lateraling over your head with the game, get a better shot, even if the team finishes 8-9. But if they look disorganized, dysfunctional, and the discipline's out the window, then they might say, that was a great run. But can you go upstairs and just watch Jerod coach next year?
Is that who it is? That's it? It would be Jerod Mayo? It wouldn't be somebody on a list in the RKK top right-hand drawer in college? He wouldn't go YOLO with Saban? I mean, seriously.
My sense is it's probably Jerod Mayo.
Okay.
Very important to the Kraft. They released a statement at the beginning of the offseason. The team was working towards an extension with him because his contract was up. Team never releases any information about any extensions, much less an assistant coach. So I think it's important to the Krafts and Mayo that it be out there that it's apparent that he is next in line to be a head coach in the NFL in the place that he played. Wow. And I think he's an extension of Bill too, Rich. He's the guy Bill drafted. He's the guy that Bill has helped inspire and fill a vessel as a leader. And I think that maybe Bill would be okay with it, but how close does he get to Shula? Or does he just pass Shula and we don't have to have this, what will be kind of a painful thing to cover?
Well, he's 20 behind Shula. That ain't happening this year. I mean, he's 30. He's 30 wins behind Shula right now.
No, he's 19.
Oh, we're talking about playoffs included.
Yeah.
Okay.
They include the playoffs.
All right. So then they're not getting 19. There's only 17 of them out there this year, unless I guess get to the AFC Championship game. He's not passing Shula this year.
Right to the Super Bowl.
So yeah, undefeated
season game.
You know what I mean? Like, so let's just brass tacks it as I send you off onto your Monday, and I appreciate the time here, Tom Curran. So you're saying, as we're sitting here on the day that we have learned, first full business day, that DeAndre Hopkins isn't coming, he's going to Vrabel's Titans, that going into this season, where the Patriots are, plan is Bill O'Brien's here, offense is going to be better with some of the weapons that we've added, as well as O'Brien. He's clearly an old hand at this. He knows exactly the way that it worked with Brady. And that red ass that he is will be fine with Mac Jones in the same way, you know, he and Brady meshed. Obviously, Mac Jones isn't Brady, but that's the plan there. And if it doesn't work out to a certain point, Belichick may be coaching his last season in New England with his successor on his staff. That's basically what you're saying going into the season for the Patriots. Is that accurate?
As someone who covers the team as intimately as anyone, I look at Robert Kraft and knowing Robert Kraft and the Kraft family, there's a point at which the growling and the saber rattling has to amount to something. And he has growled and saber rattled for going on 3 years. He's dissatisfied with the results. He does not dislike Bill. I'm sure he wouldn't want to move on from him, but he's intensely dissatisfied with the results and intensely dissatisfied with what happened last season. So my presumption is, as I sit here, that a man as successful and as urgent as Robert Kraft is going to make a decision on what does it look like if I just continue to bark on the porch? Don't I have to bite little doggy at some point? Little Reservoir Dogs for you.
I got it. Tom, thanks for the call, brother. Let's do this in training camp.
I'm on vacation, you know.
Where are you?
Well, we were in Aruba last week, but we're back now. This is the staycation portion.
Oh, okay. When do you go? When does training camp start? When does work start?
And really, we kick it in. Kick it in the beginning of next week because training camp opens next Wednesday.
Okay.
So once the week begins, it's always we're into it. We're into it kind of now.
Fresh back from Aruba. Do you tan?
No problem.
Do you tan, Tom, or you just burn? You burn or tan?
No, I'll send you my corpse-like picture in a swim shirt.
Okay.
Fell asleep in the pool. My wife took a picture. It looked like all you had to do was put some rosary beads over my hands, and I was done.
So you're if this was a gas gauge, you'd be E, and Breer would be F because you know he's tan right now. You know he's probably like George Hamilton right now from his Nantucket getaway. So. That's basically what we got.
I've never been to Nantucket in my life.
What the hell?
Wow.
But you've been to Aruba. You know, there's a beautiful island just a hop skip from you. Take a little ferry. Go to New Bedford. Take a ferry.
I know.
Okay. You take care of yourself.
One of those things growing up here, you just look at it and go, that's a hoity-toity joint. I ain't going.
Okay.
Hoity-toity.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Greatly appreciate it.
See you, brother.
That's Tom Curran.
Have a great week, guys.
Right back at you. Tom E. Curran. Always get the scoop from him.
The best Rich is when we were in Arizona, me and Brockman are at the corner, and he turns, he goes, it's Tom Curran behind us. And it was Tom, and we had never met him before. So it was.
He's good people, man.
Good people.
It was cool to meet him.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and I'll get your 2 cents before we overreact to everything else. Overreaction Monday, coming back. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on The Rich Eisen Show. If you're like me and you're on the run, you need help finding good food and eating right. And now that we're in the thick of summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track reaching your goals. If you're too busy with summer plans to cook but want to make sure you're eating well, with Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Then get back outside and soak up the warm weather. This July, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/Eisen50 and use code Eisen50 to get 50% off. That's code Eisen50 at factormeals.com/Eisen50 to get 50% off.
The average on-farm income in the United States was a loss of $1,100. 60% of U.S. pork comes from one company wholly owned by the Chinese. And farmers are more likely to commit suicide than veterans. Folks, we got a problem. I'm Lucinda, 8th-generation farmer and founder of Moink. Moo plus oink. We offer grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon, shipped straight from the heart of rural America. Come stand shoulder to shoulder with us by putting the family farm at the center of your supper table. What's in it for you? You mean besides saving the family farm and enjoying the highest quality meat on God's green earth? Jeez, want me to hang the moon for you too? I'd love to.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum right now and get a free gift in your first order.
Get to getting while the getting is good.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum. Moinkbox.com/yum.
I guarantee you're fixing to say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got moinked.
back here on the program, Tom Curran. How many, by the way, that's a new thing, is an NFL information individual telling us where they are and then sending a photograph, or any interview, right? We've had, we did a series of these things, right? We've had Pelissero cutting his hair.
And playing golf,
or sitting shotgun with Garofalo.
Yep.
We had Jeff Passan in some weird, you know,
ice room
with tubes and whatever.
Yep.
Tom Curran, I said, do you burn or do you tan? He said, neither. What'd he say? If he had rosary beads in his hands, he'd be a corpse. Well, let's see if that backs it up. There it is.
Wow.
Look at the freckled hands.
I mean, he's very Irish, so the Irish burn.
I got to be honest with you.
I respect the shirt over top.
By the way, this is our avatar of our new potential team name, Tom Curran's Thigh Meat.
Oh, wow.
Is that a good fantasy name?
Those are still longer than most
Tom
of the kids
Curran's
in
Thigh
college.
Meat.
Looks like the Pope on vacation.
He is out. Look at the hat.
Oh, he looks very comfortable.
Hey, I'm on vacation. I love how he just threw that out there.
He was not in Aruba. He said he was in Aruba. This is now the staycation portion.
So that's got to be from Aruba, or is that from today?
That could be in his crib.
Who knows? He could have been. That could have been during our conversation.
He's lounging by the pool, talking to Rich Eisen.
He's lounging. Look at Tommy. He's not wrong. If there are rosaries, we would be.
No, just go.
See ya.
Last rites.
Oh, yellow. Look at the yellow. That's a choice of swimming trunks.
It's a choice. His whole
rash
outfit
guard,
is
a little rash.
His whole outfit is a choice.
I mean, yellow and blue. Yellow and blue match.
Yeah, very. I know. It's very.
Well, that looks like the Red Sox City Connects.
Yeah. Well, I was going to go. That does. Yeah, that does. That's not maize. That's like bright yellow.
Yeah, that's like UCLA. Yeah.
No, that's an eight clap. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Are you at the point where 9-8 means let's see what Gerard Mayo's got? Let's try something else.
Nine and eight? No. If it's 9-8, but the offense looks like it's really made improvements and there's something there to build on, you know, beyond 2023. No, I think we're good. We'd run it back. Maybe try to get another playmaker in the draft.
So you're not ready to give Bill the shove? Because by the way,
not at 9-8, but if it's 6-11, 7-10, and it just doesn't look good,
I find that hard to believe. They're too good to go 6-11. That would have to be injuries.
I agree with that.
Something major.
Something's happened.
The defense is too good to go 6-11 or 7-10 next year. They are in that 8-9, 9-8, depending how the ball bounces, 10, maybe 11 if they kind of play above their skis a little bit.
Again, we keep bringing this up because it's the semifinals of the NBA in-season tournament.
That's a huge week.
Patriots, Steelers, week 14,
where's that
Thursday
game at?
Night. It's in Pittsburgh. Belichick on one sideline, Tomlin on the other. That just reeks of both teams fighting for spots 5, 6, or 7.
Yeah. I think the loser of that game is out.
I don't know about that.
Because they're going to have the tiebreaker on the other.
That will be a crucial game. I just feel it in my bones.
I feel it. Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, that is definitely one to put a pin in.
I can feel it.
But the bottom line is Belichick coaching for his tenure still just doesn't ring right to me. But you heard Curran say that the Krafts have been barking on the porch for a few years now. Oh, I'll just say this. If Belichick didn't want to pay Brady, couldn't Kraft have basically, if Kraft was the one who ordered the code red to get Jimmy Garoppolo out, why couldn't Kraft have said, we're paying Tom what he wants? Why is that left at Belichick's doorstep? Like Curran just opined.
I think that's a fair question. You know,
if he's the owner of the team.
Robert is the end-all, be-all.
Right.
You can't pick and choose if you're him when it... Well, Bill has decisions over the roster. You can't pick and choose that if you were the one that...
And even if...
Traded Jimmy.
Even if Belichick does have that contractual right, of all the players that you can come in and say, yeah, there's a new fine print in town, and it's called Me Making the Decision Instead of You. It's for Tom Brady, don't you think?
The roster also wasn't good in 2020. You know, obviously, the Bucs won the Super Bowl that year. They had much more skill and talent on the team, right, top to bottom.
2019 ended with Brady throwing that pick six out of desperation against Tennessee.
They were kind of fortunate to make the playoffs that year anyway.
Can't make it out that Mike Vrabel's team was the one who ended Brady's reign in New England. Can't make that stuff up, brother. I just find it hard to believe that Belichick's coaching for his job and has his successor on the staff. You want to talk about self-confidence, you know? And I know I mentioned his YOLO Saban, and I know that that's ridiculous to say that, that Saban's not, he's the same age as Bill, to go out and, yeah, with everything sitting there in Alabama. But don't you think they would, I don't know, look to the college ranks to get somebody there?
I don't think so.
Or just stick with their own guy?
Yeah, I mean.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Okay, it's a Monday. Let's do it. It's one of our favorite segments here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's time to overreact to stuff, even though the football season's a while away. It doesn't matter. You can overreact on any Monday, and this is one of them. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, have at it, sir.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, God.
Hey.
Hey, thanks, Jay.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, TJ.
What up, though?
I don't understand why you start segments that way when it's the middle of the show. We've said hello to each other literally for an hour and a half.
What's up?
That's how he does it.
All right.
Winning came secondary for D-Hop signing with the Titans.
Well, you're saying that as a Patriot fan, or you're just saying that?
I'm saying is they're not going to win a lot of games.
Where does he have a better shot to win the division?
Kansas City.
Where does he have? I see what you're saying. Like,
Dallas. Yeah, he chose dollars over wins.
Well, DeAndre Hopkins is a free agent, and so why would he go ahead and say, "I'll take $5-6 million"?
Because
I've
made a lot of money, and I don't have I have money in one hand, and I have zero rings in the other. What would balance this out? Oh, if I got a ring in one hand.
Yeah, he could have taken the Odell route without, you know, the knee getting blown out. I'll go win a ring and then become one of the hottest commodities on a free agent market next year. He could have done that. He could have gone 1 year, $6-7 million, been up there in Western New York or being introduced in Kansas City and having a better shot to win it all.
Yeah, couldn't Patrick Mahomes been like, hey, I'll put you in a couple Coors Light commercials and we'll offset some of the cash that way?
Or he's just, screw it, I'm sick and tired of seeing all these guys make money. It's time for me too. And I also go to a spot where, you know, the coach of the year from a year ago resides. And I also know the offensive coordinator and Derrick Henry's there and Ryan Tannehill needs to win this year. And this team was winning the division until everything went completely haywire, not their own fault. I mean, there are ways to spin this.
And it's a place where only four wide receivers have had 1,000-yard seasons in the last 10 years.
Interesting. But here's the deal.
I take that back. Not four wide receivers, Rich. 4,000-yard seasons because AJ had two or three of them.
Yeah, so I can't sit here and say the Titans are one of the top 10 teams to win the Super Bowl right now. But they're one of two teams with a great shot to win their division. And that's what he chose. But you're right. If he wanted to take less money, there would have been a whole host of teams from the Cowboys to, I imagine, the Bills and the Chiefs, teams that have a better shot in the fans' mind's eye. But we'll see. When Titan training camp hits, they're not sitting there thinking, we have no shot. They're thinking, we've got Nuke. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, that's true.
What else you got over there, Chris?
All right, a team we're not really talking much about, but is another one of those who has a chance to win their division, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Levante David recently praised Baker Mayfield's impact on the locker room. We assume he's going to be the starter. He probably put up a good season with some of the weapons they have down there. So, Baker Mayfield redemption season?
Oh, yeah, man. Sure.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. You know, of course. And that's the thing I kind of don't understand, you know, about the whole Kyle Trask aspect of this in a competition, but that's the way Todd Bowles wants to run it. And then, of course, there's also somebody who's out there that's just going to loom over this whole thing. And I know you're saying, Rich, why do you stir up Tom Brady? Why do you do it?
Yeah,
you
know, Rich, why?
You know why. Read the quotes.
Excuse me. I'm not stirring up Tom Brady.
You're just reporting.
Antoine Winfield Jr., did you see this?
I did.
Yeah, he plays on the Buccaneers.
He is on the Buccaneers. Good player.
He was on Richard Sherman's podcast.
Won a Super Bowl.
I've heard of Richard Sherman.
Yeah, he's good. He was good.
I'm sure we're still reaching out to him. Him being Brady, I'm being Antoine Winfield Jr., who plays on the Buccaneers.
Happy
I'm sure
him.
We're still reaching out to him, trying to see if he's trying to come back to the team. Hey, it could happen. Anything's possible. Sherman said he doesn't put anything past Brady, and Winfield said it's up in the air, man.
Oh, really?
Where's the up? Where's the air?
Tampa.
So
the Gulf Coast.
That looms until toe meets ball, and we'll see Baker Mayfield, who you know came on this program after signing with the Bucs, and he is totally got his head screwed on perfectly right about this situation. But you know there's a chip, and it's on his shoulder, and he's going to want to treat the rest of the National Football League, you know, the manner in which he's seemingly always done it, you know.
Mike Evans still there. Chris Godwin's still there.
Yeah. I think he wants to treat the rest of the National Football League like Hugh Jackson looking for a handshake. What else you got over there, Chris?
Hugh Jackson. Hey. He also has a good podcast, Tyreek Hill. Did you hear what he said? Play it. This is hilarious.
Oh,
go.
We've got it.
We got sound.
Wow.
Roll it.
Impressive.
You breaking 2,000 yards next year? Receiving?
I will break 2,000 yards next year, bro.
Y'all heard him. He just checking stuff off his bucket list.
And all I'm going to say is 2,000 yards was on my bucket list to get, bro, before I leave this league. And y'all think the cheater going to leave without doing something he promised himself he going to do as a jit? I got y'all, baby. 2,000 yards and another Super Bowl. We getting that. Believe that. Believe that.
2,000 yards and a Super Bowl. How about this? Tyreek Hill is going to hit on one of his two crazy predictions this year.
That's not an overreaction, right? I mean, he's supremely talented. What he just did, though, if you just heard that, this is incredibly impressive. He went triple crown on talking in the first, second, and third person. He used the word I, he, and cheetah. Okay, see, he went third person in cheetah and then referred to cheetah as he, second person, and then said I, first person.
Impressive.
It's not easy to do that in one single soundbite, and if he can do that, I think he can pull everything off. However, to get 2,000 yards, well, you know, Tua's got to throw for what, 5,000?
By the way, it's never been done before. Ever.
I get it. There's an extra game now, as we know. We're going to have to stop referring to it as an extra game because it exists.
It exists.
On a yearly basis now, forevermore. But Jalen Waddle's still on that team, and he's going to get his because he's Jalen Waddle, and that's not a denigrating Tyreek Hill, a.k.a. he cheetah.
Props to you for picking up on that, by the way.
Oh, come on. My third person alert is keen. It's a pungent sense to me that I have. So Tua's going to have to be healthy and throw for 5,000 yards for Tyreek Hill to get 2,000 in an offense where the ball needs to be shared and will. Certainly if Dalvin Cook gets there, can't put it past him. What else you got over there, Chris?
All right, last week, Justin Jefferson was asked his top 5 quarterbacks, and he said Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow.
He did not say Kirk Cousins.
Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen. It's weird because he doesn't play with any of those guys. How about this? Kirk Cousins can be a top 5 quarterback this year.
Remember Michael Irvin said he was the MVP of the season going into the year last year?
Yeah.
And he about 2/3 of the season in, Kirk was in that conversation. And by the way, we're all talking about the behind-the-scenes mic'd-up stuff about Mahomes in the quarterback series on Netflix. Kirk Cousins has got that dog in him, right? To use that phrase. Sure, I'm not going to sit here and say Kirk Cousins is garbage and he can't be a top-5 quarterback this year.
Did he have the second most wins last year? It was 13-4.
Hey, man, if again, I keep saying, I keep returning this running back market. I know it's not a running back league, but if Alexander Mattison does not do Dalvin Cook things, then Kirk Cousins is going to have problems fading back to pass. Period. End of story. I mean, it's a team game, folks. So, you know.
By the way, no one in the NFL is garbage. Let's put that out.
No, I understand that. I'm referring to how fans think of Cousins.
Talking to the fans, yeah.
And so, sure, can he be a top five quarterback? Like, where? Like, he's up there with Mahomes and Burrow and Allen and Rodgers.
So what are you measuring that by, Chris? Wins, touchdown passes, yardage?
All of it.
All
Cousins has 4,000 yards passing in 7 of the last 8 years. So if he goes, what? Say they're 12-5, 5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns, and 10 picks. That's a top 5 year. He's going to make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
he'll be in the All-Pro discussion.
I got you. Again, I can't sit here and say no chance, but I'll give that an overreaction. What are we overreacting to his last few years or whatever? But
no, just the idea that you don't even have him better than Dak Prescott. So. When the stats definitely and the wins
like
say
Prescott,
otherwise.
Man.
So that means Dak is top two.
I like Dak, guys.
Wow.
No, I mean, we're going to have to see Jordan Addison. How does he do? KJ Osborne. I mean, does Jalen Reagor step it up finally?
By the way,
I mean, TJ Hawkinson is there. You know, like, this is an Alexander Mattison. Like, this is going to be.
I mean, it's their division.
I
don't know why everyone's on the Lion bandwagon, but this team won 13 games last year.
How many people can you put on Justin Jefferson?
I mean,
that's it.
You could safely triple
team. I'll let everyone else beat me. Let everyone else beat me. You got one more over there, Chris?
Yeah. Ohtani went yard over the weekend. I'm going to say he's not going to get traded, but he will hit 60 home runs.
That's not an overreaction at all. He's on pace to hit in the high 50s right now. And you know, the Angels are close enough, I guess, in hailing distance for them to still look at their fan base and say, we're not trading Ohtani. Yankees pulling to town. That's a big, huge-ass series here in Southern California with the Yankees having lost 2 of 3 to the Rockies.
You going?
I am not right now, no. I am not.
So last year at this time, Aaron Judge had 33 home runs.
Yeah, and he's
so
ahead of that pace.
Ohtani's one ahead of that pace.
I get it. Well, he's the MVP. I've got some thoughts on this subject matter.
MVP of what? They're not in the playoffs.
I understand that, pal. I get it.
Adolis Garcia and the Rangers are blowing everybody out. The numbers are just as good.
Would this make everyone feel better if we changed MVP
yes.
to MOP?
Most outstanding player.
Or just give out two awards like the NFL. Offensive player of the year and the MVP. There's two different things.
We can do that. There we go.
I mean, they could.
Isn't that interesting? We just got nuanced and smart in an overreaction segment. That's rare.
Arius consulting.
Sorry, I'll go back to my other
Again, if one person can go first, second, and third person in a single soundbite, we can be more nuanced on an overreaction Monday segment, and that's where we're taking our cue from Tyreek Hill. All right, when we come back.
That's it?
When we come back, I backtrack.
What?
I rescind.
Oh. Your remarks about Dallas?
An error and an omission. I rescind. What am I referring to? That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So, switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
May have missed this over the weekend on Saturday, amidst everything going on. The Lakers Twitter account tweeted
Lakers.
It out. In case you missed it, the Lakers tweeted out Saturday that it's official, 23 is back. This is 3 days after LeBron made the announcement that he's returning for a 21st season in the NBA that we all assumed was an unnecessary announcement because we assumed it was happening. So the Lakers...
He's going back. He's switching his jersey. He was wearing
that's
number...
Oh, I see.
He's been wearing number six the last 2 years.
Oh, 23
and now,
is back.
Because and now, six has been retired by the entire
right.
league.
Right. So if you're wearing six, you kind of get it graced.
Now I get it. I thought this was just like them trying to perpetuate...
Well, I don't want to wear six anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, because no one else is wearing six.
But guess what? Also, players get a share of jersey sales. So this is a money grab by LeBron.
Stop it. And here I thought it was the Lakers just backing his play.
Nah, it was because the Bill Russell.
I see. Yeah, no, okay.
It's a money grab.
Yeah, I'm learning.
I don't think that's enough. I mean, LeBron's got money, bro. I don't.
So what? Rich people want more money.
Well, then you answered your DeAndre Hopkins question. You said
yes.
Well, LeBron has rings already.
Well, that's not what you
23
said.
23 is back.
23 is back, guys.
23 is back. Yeah.
Cool. But hasn't Anthony Davis been wearing 23?
No. Has he?
That's why LeBron gave it up in the first place. Is Anthony Davis?
Wait a second. I remember that was a.
Yeah.
Hold up. No, I think he wears three.
I'm not
though.
In tune on the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. No, Anthony Davis wears three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anthony Davis wears three.
They should give it to the real GOAT on that team, Austin Reeves. 23.
Gabe Vincent is a sneaky great signing by the Lakers, by the way. I love that signing.
Did the Lakers have the same cap as the rest of the NBA? Because
when you say cap, blue cap?
Salary cap. Okay. No cap.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. I've been doing a lot of thinking, guys.
All right. This is great.
About
life.
No. Well, I mean, when I say something on the air, I mean it. And I sometimes ruminate. Am I right? Am I wrong? I sometimes spend too much time
on
that.
You're not like your contemporaries.
No, yeah, where I just say it and move on and hope you click on it. Yeah. And then, you know, never.
Contradict yourself 48 hours later.
Exactly. Yeah. Never forget it or whatever.
You don't do that.
I don't. So I've been doing a lot of thinking. And this weekend's events have definitely helped me gain a little bit more clarity on this opinion that I had last week.
Okay.
I am now officially believing I cannot get a point off of Carlos Alcaraz.
Thank you.
I've come around.
Thank you for sitting on that and thinking and ruminating.
I've
sure
really
you,
thought a lot about it.
Yep.
You know, and I saw him against Djokovic.
Yep. Yeah.
That was awesome. And I saw what he did,
mm-hmm.
you know, caused the greatest player, arguably, in the history of the game to abuse his racket and come back and get through a classic Djokovic bathroom break.
That was such,
by the way,
BS, man.
Did he have reading material in there? Dude, what's he doing?
Was he scrolling Instagram? Like,
what is
happening?
He doing? By the way, of all the things, I mean, if I'm ever at like a dinner party or something, and I got to go to the bathroom and I'm timing it. Like, if it's longer than 90 seconds, people are
wondering.
I don't want them thinking like there's. There's something going on
this
here.
This was 8-9 minutes.
Could you imagine leaving the King of England waiting? Bond,
Brad Pitt.
You're all
Brad
there.
Pitt, yeah.
I mean, you're just like, hey, is he coming out?
It's not like it was almost a 5-hour match anyway.
Does he need the latest car and driver in there? Whatever he's reading.
Cigar aficionado.
I don't know what he is. What is he doing?
What is going on?
Toilets.
Lou, pardon me, Lou.
Lou. Water closet or Lou.
But Alcaraz survived it all.
Jeez, this kid's amazing.
And I don't think I could get a point off of it. That I thought like the ninth, by the again the ninth
yeah,
service
you'd be
game,
able to tab
second
it
set, I'd be able to time one of them up enough.
Just and boom.
But I spoke about this with the poker crew last week. I threw that out there.
Uh-huh.
They, to a man, largely agreed with you, Chris, that I would not be able to get a point off of him.
Okay.
They brought up the point, like, would he know what my goal was? Like, would he know he could not give up a point?
Yeah, I think you got to tell
him. Oh, I see.
Like, that made a difference. That they all thought the point I would get would be him just goofing around and hitting one out. Like it would be an unforced error by him because he just didn't know that he could not lose a single point.
But if he's aware.
But if he is aware that my goal was to get one single point off of him in three sets of action, that he would not give up a single point. Like he would focus enough.
Love.
But then, of course, I push back to say, well, what if it is six love, five love last, like last set. Can he close?
Whether he had the nerve to finish you off
without losing a point, right, you know, right. would he tighten up? And then I saw what he did, you know, on center court at Wimbledon against Novak Djokovic, and
who hadn't lost on center court in nearly 10 years. 4-time defending champion.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of his resume, okay, Chris, okay. Which is why I'm now moonwalking a bit. I'm backtracking.
Okay.
And I do not believe now I would get a single point off of Carlos Alcaraz.
Well, you know, Steve Weissman, who sits in with us, he's over in Wimbledon, and we were texting each other.
He's a tennis man.
We were texting each other during that 27-minute game that those guys had.
Unbelievable.
And he backed up what he tweeted. He goes, he literally says, I still think Rich gets a point off of Carlos. And I replied something that I can't read on air. And he goes, it's just 1 point. Somehow it happens.
I know. That's, again, it would not be a winner off of my racket.
It would be his error.
It would be an unforced error off of his due to him not knowing what my goal was. To get one single point off of him. That if he, again, that's what the poker guys were saying. If he knew, I'd have no chance. If he didn't know and he was just screwing around, he didn't care about losing a point,
then yeah,
he might hit one wide, long. So I am recanting.
Thank you.
You know, I ruminate a lot about what I say. At least I don't just forget it.
Don't recant. You have people out there like Weissman who believe in you, man.
Now, Steve, I hate to tell you. I have some new opinions of my own. How funny was that Mike Tennis Coach Kelly coming on? Right. Just like, yeah, that's
no,
not,
chance. I mean,
yeah,
no chance. No chance.
Oh, okay, better shot than Del Tufo, still.
Thanks. Oh, my God. Him scoring a goal on a NHL goalie. Get out of here. Trip over the blue line. Oh, it was a Zamboni. It's not my fault.
It wasn't
There were ice chips.
You know what I love most about Wimbledon, though? Everyone gets so dressed up.
Oh, yeah. They look clean.
They just drink champagne, and it's the strawberries
Pim's,
and cream.
Pim's cup. Oh, dude.
I want to go to that in the worst way.
Do you have the proper
attire?
Yeah.
You'll get it.
You'd have to go shopping.
I mean, you've seen me dressed up for the Emmys.
Yeah. That's not center court attire, Wimbledon. That's not like running into royalty. And by royalty, I mean James Bond.
You're right. I would go shopping. Okay?
You didn't have a tie on for the Emmys. You had sneakers on.
Yeah, come on. You can't wear your...
I bought a new pink tie.
Your Air Jordans. Right, you can't. You got to come correct.
But I want to do it.
How great is that?
It's so awesome.
Right?
It's great. Everyone's just like... Even Prince William and Kate's son, that kid is so dapper.
Dude.
Well, he's rich. He better be dapper.
He's going to be the king. I get it. I'm just saying.
It's good to be the king.
He better look like a million bucks.
This little kid is like, man, he's so good looking. He's all buttoned up and he's politely clapping.
Yeah, yeah. You're not, I don't even know if you're in line in any succession.
Not even my own house.
And in your own house. That is the center court.
It's great. I love it.
But by the way, too, that match, what a great setup. Alcaraz, Djokovic, young guy who just lost to him in the French.
You were hoping to.
He's trying to get the Grand Slam for the year, which hasn't been done since 1969. And he was close, man.
You're hoping to watch this match, 1-2.
Yeah.
And it totally lived up to the hype. It was great.
And I can't get a point off Alcaraz.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
A little bit out of the gate. This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.